when we think about this meal here that we're about to share at this table with one another, there's a lot of parts to that meal. And I was speaking to the young people who are going to share in this communion about how we can address and understand these meals, this meal, and all of the different layers. And do you five remember how we started talking about food that was layered? Now, if you haven't figured out, I like food. And I love food that is layered. And we talked about different ones that were there. Do any of you five remember the different meals we talked about, the food? Courtney? Lasagna. Lots of layers, right? You got the noodles. Now, pasta's good on its own. You got the tomatoes. I like tomatoes. Italian sausage and cheese. Remember, I'm from Wisconsin. Loads and loads of cheese. Throw some mushrooms on there. A little bit of onion, maybe. As long as it's cooked well enough so I don't taste it awful afterward. All right, lasagna. Yes, Annika?
Seven-layered cake.
Seven-layered bars. Yep, close to the cake. My mom made the easiest dessert. You would crush up graham crackers and mix it together with butter and put it on the bottom of a pan, layer one. You'd pour out a can of condensed milk on top, layer two. Mix in chocolate chips, layer three. Butterscotch chips, layer four. Coconut, layer five. What am I missing? And I know that the walnuts are layer seven, but we didn't put those on because, yeah, I'm not into baked walnuts. But I'm missing a layer. Maybe it was the butter. But oh my goodness, seven-layer bars. Did we talk about another one? And those were the two at the beginning. I thought I brought up one more a little later. Hamburgers, sandwiches, layers and layers of food. How many of you are old enough to remember the Dagwood comic strips? Where Dagwood would take that sandwich and he would just keep layering. So you got the bread and he'd put a couple different types of meat. Don't forget the mayonnaise on there. He'd put lettuce on there, tomatoes on there, onion, more meat. And then it would end up being about that tall. Some of the hamburgers you get at a restaurant, you know, there's no way you'd ever fit that. I've got a big mouth and I wouldn't be able to get that layered meal in there, in my mouth. And this area is pretty Scandinavian and German, so I don't know how many of you have eaten tiramisu. That's another layered dessert. Nick is over there nodding his head. It's got lady fingers, white cake, a little bit of Kahlua, a little coffee-flavored liqueur, some cream, more sugar. Oh. Now, if I got your mouth watering, great. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Because as good as all of those food items are, God is even more tasty. The goodness of our God, that which we are privileged to share in, that which we are invited to be in communion with, is so much more satisfying and fulfilling and tasty and loving and fantastic than any one of those great meals. Our communion that we get to share with God has got tons and tons of layers on it too. And I'm going to present those layers to you, and you can decide if you like it as an individual layer or if you like it as a whole entire thing. Just like you like the individual layers of each of those foods I talked about, or if you like the entire taste. But at the most basic level, the very most bottom layer of what happens at this table when we have communion is that it's a meal. That's why we can talk about these food items, because this is simply a meal. Sure, it's not lasagna with tiramisu afterward. It's not a great big sandwich with seven layer bars. But it is a meal. Most basically, it is a meal of bread and wine. And if that's all you had, if that's all I had, I could survive. But it's much more than just a meal. When Jesus gathered at the night, in the upper room on the night before he died, that what we call the Last Supper, It was a meal. But it was a historical meal for him. It was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It was a Passover celebration. And so Jesus and his Jewish disciples had another layer to this meal, because that meal was instituted 1,500 years before they were alive, when their ancestors were leaving slavery in Egypt, where they didn't have time for the bread to rise, and so they had to have unleavened bread, a flat bread. And they didn't have time to lay out a fancy meal, so they just cooked up some lamb meat really quick. Because that was the night which the angel of death would pass over those houses marked by the blood of the lamb. And the angel of death would pass over, and those who were marked by the blood of the lamb would be spared. And that was the thing that allowed finally Pharaoh to say, "Go, Moses, go, you and your people, go home." And so they passed from slavery into freedom. And after wandering through the desert of their life for 40 years, they passed over into the promised land. Passed through the Red Sea with the wall of water on their left and a wall of water on their right. They passed through the Jordan River, dry shod, not a bit of water touching their feet, because God is good. And they tasted and saw the goodness of God. And they said that they wanted to remember this every year. So every year, on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the first night of the Passover, they would gather for a meal of bread and wine, a simple meal that had a ton of meaning, a historical layer. And then Jesus built upon those layers, that basic layer of a meal, that historical, theological layer of the Passover meal, and he said, "Look, I'm going to add another meaning to it. I'm going to gather here with all of my friends, those that I love and who love me. And I'm going to add another layer, because I'm going to say there's a new covenant between God and his people. Not just passing from slavery into freedom, from Egypt into the promised land, but through me, sharing in my body and sharing in my blood, which this bread and this wine now have come to be. This is going to be a new covenant, a covenant of salvation. And every time you gather and you break this bread and drink this cup, you are going to be in communion with me." And in communion with him, not just at the meal, but with communion with him nailed on a cross. In communion with him in the tomb. But even more than that, in communion with him as he rose from the dead. In communion with him as he ascended into heaven. In communion with him as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. You and I can taste the goodness of the Lord in this meal, because it's not only a meal with friends and his death and his resurrection. Here's another layer. So we're on to our fourth layer already. This is a foretaste of our heavenly banquet feast. This is our feast where we gather together with all believers from all of time with the God. And we get to share in that. That's another layer we add on to it. We add still more layers onto this. We say that sharing in this meal is about forgiveness. That's another layer. We say that sharing in this meal is about communion. That's another layer. We say that sharing in this meal is about justice, where all people are welcome to this table. That's another layer. We say this meal is about commission, about being sent out in the world, strengthened, fed, nourished, so that we can go out and welcome others to our table. That's another layer. This layer is about thanksgiving, another layer. Some of us call this Eucharist. Eucharist is a word, Eucharisto. It very simply means I give thanks. I worship. So we give thanks in this meal. This bread and this wine, they represent everything that we have. All of your hopes, all of your fears, all of your gifts, all of your talents, all of your time. All of these things are brought to the table. Every gift that every one of us has, our whole entire life, is brought to this table, because we want to give to God what God has given us. And what has God given us? Everything. And so in thanksgiving, in worship, we bring everything back to the table. What do you bring to the table? Everything. You know, that's a phrase. What are you going to bring to the table? If God were to ask me, "Rob, what are you going to bring to the table?" I want to say, "I'll bring you everything, Lord. because you have given me everything. Because you have given me life. Because you've given me my family. Because you've given me this community. Because you've given me my gifts and my talents. Because you've answered my prayers. Because of all of these things, we gather around this table and we celebrate and commune at all of these different levels. So today, as we come to celebrate, we get to taste and see the goodness of our Lord. We get to be in communion. And as the author of the letter of the Hebrews said, and what Deb read to us, we can come here without shame because God, Jesus, through Jesus' death and resurrection, has removed that shame, that guilt from us. We get to come to this table, some of you for the first time, to be able to share in all of this, to lift one another up. Take a moment and think about the layers that I just shared with you. And you have a choice. When you receive communion today, do you want to celebrate one of the layers? The Italian sausage layer, the pasta layer, the chocolate chip layer? You want to celebrate the whole entire taste, everything put together? So choose one of these parts, that you're no longer slaves, but that you are free. That you get to share in the heavenly banquet feast, that you're called to justice, that you can receive peace and forgiveness in your heart. You pick. We have 7 or 8 layers here. Pick one of them today. Pick another one next month when you come back on the 3rd Sunday to share in communion. Pick another one when you remember a little later this evening as you're going to sleep. Or celebrate a bunch of them all at once, the whole entire taste. The main thing is to know that you are invited. And we get to come to the Lord's feast. The young, the old, the meek, the bold, the rich, the poor, the healthy, the sore. We all come to this feast. A feast, a gift from our God to each one of us. Let's take a moment to thank God for this feast, for this meal. And then we will start our sharing in it, offering ourselves as we receive from the one to whom we offer. And we gather together our prayers. Lord God, you have given us everything. We desire to give back to you and to share in your goodness. Thank you for inviting us to the table. Thank you for these 5 young people who are going to share for the first time today. Thank you for the rich, rich layers. Layers of meaning, layers of substance. Layers of gift that we are invited to share in this morning. Help us to remember this meal every moment of our days, till that day when we finally get to glorify you with all of your saints, all of the angels, all of the faithful from all of time, worshiping and honoring you as our God forever and ever. Amen. For the 5 of you who are coming to the table today for the first time, welcome again. Pick something that you can share in today, and we will get to celebrate with you, honor God, worship with you, to be blessed with you. The next phase of our liturgy is often called the offering. Some people call it offertory. Some people call it the collection time. We do that because it is an offering. We are offering to God. We are collecting together our gifts. We're giving it to our God. I tell people that if I had a shrink gun, I would shrink us all into little things so we can hop into the collection plates and offer our very selves. I invite the five of you kids to go in and grab your parts. We're going to set the table. We're going to sing our offering hymn. It's the song on the full sheet, "We Come to Your Feast." I alluded to some of the words in it already. It starts with the verses. So the page with the title on it, and you flip it over for the refrain. We are going to sing all four verses. So let's go ahead. You can stay seated for this song, and "We Come to Your Feast." So you two will be first.
Okay.